In fact, it's a text that we often just quote a portion of the verse, and we understand that we've been dealing with the subject matter of deception here on Wednesday evenings for a number of weeks now, and almost two full months on Wednesday evenings now that we've been looking at this subject matter. And we, of course, have issued a warning with regard to the deception in which is so prevalent in the society in which we live. We understand that as we look to the Word of God, that God has given us warning with regard to deception. And I believe that as we would really honestly evaluate the society in which we live, that it would not be too challenging for us to acknowledge that we are living in an age of deception. And we understand that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God there, and he's writing and he's giving truth in 2 Timothy 3 with regard to the end times and perilous times, and he gives some details and descriptions. And one of the things that is mentioned is that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we see it all around us. And we issued a number of warnings, looked at a number of passages dealing with the danger of deception, the fact that there are many deceivers that have gone out, that there are many that lie in wait to deceive. But in the last couple of weeks, and including this evening, we've looked more at the subject of deception, not strictly from the perspective of being deceived by someone else, but the danger of being deceived ourselves. And it is an awful thing to be deceived from without. But you think about the subject matter, and as we've looked at a few of these truths, and again this evening, we'll find that it's not so much of deception from without, it's deception from within. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, notice in verse number 22 of James 1, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." And then notice this phrase, "deceiving your own selves." But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. How many of you looked in the mirror before you left house this evening? And some of you didn't, we know, I'm just teasing. But the reality is that you look in a mirror and you get that picture, and there are times when you look in the mirror and you say, oh, I need help, right? Like, man, this is a mess, and there's something I need to do here. And that mirror gives us that view, that picture. And here, notice he says that the one that is a hearer of the word but not a doer, he's like a man that is beholding his natural face in a glass. And then notice verse number 24, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And what a tragic situation. We find that, of course, we're looking at this tonight from a spiritual perspective. The natural illustration is provided to us in these verses of Scripture. But I want you to notice in verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." What is that? It's the Bible, the Word of God, amen? The perfect law of liberty. And then notice these three words, "and continueth therein." He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to be blessed. Amen? I want the blessing of God. You think about Joshua 1, and you think about all the truth that God is giving Joshua as he's preparing to enter into the land of promise and take the people into that land. And we find that God says to Joshua, in fact, he gives him many promises in the first chapter, but in verse number 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night," and here's why, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Then he tells them this, "For then," not before then, not if you exclude this, but as you are in the Word of God, meditating and obeying the Word of God, observing the Word of God, For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We find here that he is telling us in both that passage of Scripture, and again here in James 1, that as we look into the perfect law of liberty, into the Word of God, and we continue therein, we're not being a forgetful hearer, but we're a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So this evening, as we look at this warning in James 1 and verse number 22, I've simply entitled the message this evening from the last part of that verse, Deceiving Your Own Selves. Now, it's terrible for someone to deceive you, right? How many of you have ever been deceived in your life? I think all of us can acknowledge there's been a time that someone has deceived me. In fact, there probably have been more times than we'd like to remember that someone has deceived us. But what a tragedy that we would deceive our own selves. That's a tragedy. And we find here the cause of this self-deception is in hearing the Word of God, but not doing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, but not doing, not applying, not taking heed. Not understanding that this is the message not for my brother or my sister, not for I wish somebody else were here to hear this, or not that, man, I'm glad you came because you needed this, but God is speaking to me. We find that no doubt this is a danger that each one of God's people face. It's a danger that we are hearers of the Word, but not doers of the Word. That we don't actually take the time to determine how is it that the truth that God has given us, how is it that the perfect law of liberty that He has preserved for us, that we have for us this evening, how is it that it's supposed to impact my life? How am I a doer of the Word? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 7, if you will. In Matthew chapter number 7, we're nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and of course, there's much that you could look at in these chapters here in the book of Matthew, and we're nearing the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, I mentioned as we were studying on Sunday morning in our Sunday school hour from Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4, and how that you understand that there were great multitudes that followed the Lord Jesus Christ after that teaching on the Sermon of the Mount. And one of the reasons that so many followed is because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. But I want you to notice how that Jesus, as he ends the Sermon on the Mount and the content of all that is contained here in these chapters, and you find that really the preaching begins in chapter number 5 and all the way through chapter 5, all the way through chapter 6, and all the way through chapter 7. And there's so much truth that is given. And we find that as the conclusion is coming to the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus says this in verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We're familiar with this passage of Scripture at the end of Matthew 7. In fact, we sing a song with the kids about this particular passage of Scripture. The wise man built his house upon the rock, right? And we sing the song with the children, and we understand the teaching that is given here. But with regard to, and you see the similarities between the verbiage that is used by the Lord Jesus Christ here in these few verses of Scripture with that as what we've looked at in James 1 and verse 22. And I want you to notice simply this evening the message delivered. the message delivered, we find that in verse number 24 and again in verse number 26, that the same words are used, the same idea. Notice what he says, "Whosoever heareth," notice, "these sayings of mine." He says that in verse number 24, and then if you skip down to verse number 26, he says, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." We understand that the message here that is being spoken of is the Sermon on the Mount. It's the message, "these sayings of mine." It is the message that was delivered by Jesus Christ himself. Now, he's God. He's perfect. Amen? There are absolute certain times in which you can take a note of the deficiencies of the human delivery individual, the deliverer of the message, the preacher, the pastor. There are times that we, in our failures, we fail to communicate the Word of God appropriately. No doubt. We're fallible people. But Jesus Christ, He's God. No one ever taught like him. In fact, the passage ends in verse number 29 that he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. And when you read the words in verse 24 and verse number 26, "these sayings of mine," we understand that the message was delivered, and it was delivered by Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that the message was delivered. I'm thankful that it's not only been delivered to those that were gathered together that heard him on that day, but I'm thankful that it's been preserved for us, that we can go and we can read the content of these sayings of mine that Jesus is referencing here in this concluding statement of this wonderful message. We find that the message was delivered. I'd say this, number two, the message was received. It was heard. I want you to notice that in verse number 24, again it says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." If you look in verse number 26, it does not use the word "whosoever," it uses the phrase "everyone," but notice it says, "that heareth." The problem was not with the receiving of the message, correct? The problem, no doubt, the problem was not with the delivery of the message. That was spot on. That's perfect. That's delivered by God Himself. But we think about the receiving of the message, and we find here that this message was received, that Jesus says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." In James 1, in verse number 22, where we started this evening, that we're to be doers of the word, notice, and not hearers only. You know how many people hear truth and never act upon it? It's sad. It's sad. I had a man many years ago, it was probably 15 years ago now. I was not living in Virginia. I didn't even know where Oakton was. So you probably don't know the individual. But I remember his wife faithfully attended our church, and he would not come to our church. And I remember I'd visit with him occasionally, and I remember on one particular evening, I went to visit with this individual, and we had a nice conversation, and a nice man. And I just asked him plainly. We had spoken several times, and I just plainly said to him, "Sir, why don't you come to church?" And here's what his response was. "I don't want to be responsible for what I hear." That's what he said to me. "I don't want to be responsible for what I hear." I was, so 15 years ago, I was 26. It might have been a little bit longer than that. I might have been a little younger. So I was like, "What? I never heard something like this before," right? And I sat there a little bit stunned at the man's response. And I sat there for a moment, and it seems like maybe 5 or 10 seconds of silence, and you know, 5 or 10 seconds of silence in that moment can feel like an eternity. And we just kind of sat there, and I said, "Sir, with all due respect, I believe that you're accountable for the truth whether you come and hear it or not." Amen. And as we continued to have that conversation, the arguments were given and everything boiled down. And here's what it boiled down to. he was not going to be a doer of the word. And so therefore, why am I going to hear it? Because I just don't want to be responsible for it. That's tragic. That is sad. It's a sad thing when the people of God hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and they fail to apply it. The message is delivered, the message is received. I would say this, as I mentioned a moment ago, that the delivery of this message here in Matthew 7, 5, 6, and 7 is a perfect delivery because it's delivered by Jesus Christ. No doubt there are flaws in God's messengers today, but if God's messengers use God's word, then I would submit to you this evening that though there may be a flaw in the delivery, there's no flaw in the message. That's why it's my responsibility, and it's the responsibility of those that would answer the call that we are to preach the word. That's our job, that's our duty. And there's not a problem with God's word. You may find fault with the deliver. You may say, well, it could have been said like this, or maybe you should have this, or maybe that, and you can take fault. But if you sit and you simply try to criticize the preacher, you miss the message. And here we find that Jesus says, the message has been delivered. These sayings of mine, they were delivered. The message had been received. It was received. It was heard. It says, whosoever heareth these sayings, and everyone that heareth these sayings. The question, however, is whether or not the message would be applied. Will it be applied? The reality is that here, the difference in verse 24 and 25 versus verse 26 and verse 27, the difference is in just a simple word. You find in verse number 24, it says, and doeth them. But in verse number 26, you read, and doeth them not. One word makes all the difference. And I would submit to you that the word in verse number 24 and the word in verse number 26 is what impacts the word in verse number 25 and the word in verse number 27. In verse number 25, you find a word that you do not find in verse number 27. In verse number 25, you read this, it fell not. In verse 25. In verse 27, you read, it fell. So in verse number 24, it says, and doeth them. The response of doeth them, of being a doer, of applying the truth that had been delivered, these sayings of mine, that one, the Bible says that the result of that is that it fell not. And God says, I'm going to liken him to a wise man. A wise man. But the one in verse number 26 where the Bible says, and doeth them not, it says that that house, it fell. It fell. And he is likened to a foolish man. I want you to understand that as you read verse 25 and verse number 27, that in both cases the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. You understand that every individual, every person is going to deal with storms in life. Trials and difficulties and adversities. And Paul says that there's a door that's been opened, but there are many adversaries. We deal with problems and troubles in life, but we find that here, as the rain descended, as the floods came, and as the winds blew and beat upon the house, both individuals, both groups of people, if we could broaden it this evening, they both dealt with the same thing. Now, they both heard the same message. They both encountered the same storm. But there's a great difference in the consequence and the result of what you read with regard to whether the house stood or not. And it has everything to do with whether the message is applied. That we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. I would submit to you this evening that this is not just a truth that we would seek to look at within the context of hearing a message delivered in a church service. though it's applicable in that account, as the Word of God is preached and proclaimed, that there ought to be a response to the Word of God, that there ought to be a desire on the part of the people of God to not just hear the message, but to do the message, to apply the message, to be a doer of the Word. To not be a forgetful hearer, as he says in James 1. Why are we not a forgetful hearer? Because we continue therein. We're doing the Word of God. We're applying it in our lives. And yes, that is applicable and appropriate for a response to a church service, to a preaching, a teaching encounter that we have when the Word of God is open. But I would submit to you that this is something that we must take heed to on a daily basis as we open the Bible in our own daily walk with Christ. That as we open the Word of God, as we begin to read the Word of God, that we would read it not so that we could simply check a box, not so that we could simply say, I had my devotions, but so that we could find out, what is it from this passage, what is it from these chapters that God is speaking to me about? What is it that I need to apply in my life? Because I don't just want to be a hearer of the Word, I want to be a doer of the Word. And we find that as we would look at the account that is given to us in James 1, if you turn back to that passage of Scripture, you find that, again, this is a verse of Scripture that is often rehearsed. It's a verse that oftentimes we simply say that we'd be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And far too often, myself included, I will leave out those last phrase or those last words of the verse, deceiving your own selves. I had a man many years ago say to me at the end of a message, "Preacher, that was a great sermon. I'm glad my wife was here." I just avoided it like the plague, amen, because I don't want to go down that avenue as to what it was that he was so thankful for. But the reality is that, again, it's not that I come to church and hope that the preacher preaches a message that's really going to take care of the problem in my spouse or in my child. I come to church saying, God, how are you going to speak to me? How are you going to work in my heart? What are you going to show me from your Word that I need to do? How do I respond to what God's Word says? Listen, I don't want to be the man, as we find in verse 23 and 24, that goes and looks into the glass and he beholds his natural face, but then he walks away and straightway immediately forgetteth what manner of man he is. Why is it that we take time at the end of our Sunday services, both morning and evening, to have a time of invitation? To give you an opportunity to respond. Sometimes we shy away from going to the old-fashioned altar. Somebody might think negatively of us. We're all sinners, saved by grace, amen? And oh, that we'd just say, God, how did you speak to me this morning? When we go to church, that we have that attitude, that anticipation of, Lord, I'm asking that you'd speak to me and show me and reveal to me and help me with your grace and with your power to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. I believe that as we respond to truth that is given, as we are doers of the Word, that God continues to reveal truth to us in His Word. He continues to teach us. Why? Because we're responding to the truth that He's already revealed to us. And as we respond to that truth, and as we apply that truth, and as we're doers of the Word, not only will we be blessed, according to verse number 25, but we find that God will continue to work in our heart, continue to give us the instruction that we need. I hope this evening that each of us recognize that we're not perfect. Amen? That God is still working on us. There is a process that we refer to, the theological term of the progressive sanctification. I'm thankful that positionally I'm sanctified, but the reality is, from a practical standpoint, I am daily being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And there's not one of us that's perfect, and every one of us need the Word of God and need to apply the Word of God. And as we take, listen, the message is delivered, the message is received, it's heard, but is the message applied? Are we taking the time personally in our devotions as we go to the Word of God and say, okay, God, what are you teaching me from this passage? What are you trying to draw my attention to? What is it that I need to stop doing? What is it that I need to start doing? How is it that I can take the truth of your Word and be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only? This book, as I've said many times over the years, is not a book of theory. It's a book of practice. It's not just a theory book that, these are all these theories that have been put into a volume that we call the Bible. No, it's a book of practice. It's a book of applying. And as we are students of the Word and as we are digging into the Word, then we're finding how do we take and apply these truths in our lives, not deceiving our own selves. Last week on Wednesday evening, we looked at that passage of Scripture in Mark chapter number 12 where those Sadducees, the title last week was, "Ye therefore do greatly err." And remember those Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection, but yet they come to Jesus and they think they have him cornered right where they want him. And they say, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Because all of these brothers had her and there were no seed raised up. And so whose wife will she be? And Jesus said, "You err, not knowing the Scriptures." See, as we know the Scriptures, what does it mean to know them? It's not just a mental aptitude that's being spoken of. It's that application of the truth. Jesus says, "You did not know the truth. You greatly err." And then he says to them in Mark 12, as he's speaking to them and responding to them, he says, "He's not the God of the dead, but of the living." So as they would take the truth that had been revealed to them and they would be doers and apply the principles, they would understand that there is a resurrection, but yet they deny the resurrection. That's what Jesus was getting at with those disciples, those Sadducees. We find here this evening that as we look at this passage of Scripture, no doubt each one of us can look back on our walk with God and our Christian life and we can say, "I have heard a lot of truth." We are not in a place where truth is unavailable. Aren't you thankful for that, by the way? There may come a time where they try to silence our voices. There are certain countries around the world in which they seek to do that. I was speaking with someone yesterday, and they were asking some questions about the potential of some of that type of thing being done, and I said, "Well, at that point, you can forget about live stream. That'll go out the window, right? I'm going to let you broadcast truth if they're trying to silence you." There are countries around the world that we have missionaries in where truth is not available like it is here, that you can't stand up with the level of freedom that we have and proclaim truth. But it's not about just being a hearer of truth. We're to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Notice, deceiving your own selves. I don't want someone else to deceive me. I certainly don't want to deceive myself. Right? I don't want someone to deceive me. I don't like being deceived. But how tragic. How tragic if we deceive our own selves. I've often said that the worst deception is self-deception. And you know, many times when we deceive ourselves, we don't even know it. We're just completely blinded to it. Oh, that God would help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. God, I want you to speak to me and I want you to make it plain. Show me how to apply the truth that you've given me. Help me to make a commitment to be a doer of the Word. That when your Spirit, we sing the song, "I'll say yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes." When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'm going to be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. I don't want to deceive myself. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for giving us truth. We thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. As we read those wonderful passages of Scripture in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we're mindful as we come to the end of that passage as we studied this evening. The message was delivered. The message was received. But the critical aspect of that passage of Scripture is whether or not the message would be applied. There were some that heard, and they doeth them. They respond by being a doer of the word. Their house fell not. Stood, it withstood the storms, the trials, were likened unto a wise man. There's another group of people that in like manner heard the message, but doeth them not. The house fell. Foolish. God, thank you for truth. Help us to be doers of the word. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you hear and answer prayer. Thank you that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I pray this evening that as we engage in corporate prayer, that you would bless, encourage us, and strengthen us. And we'll thank you for what you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.